The Lord is good. Amen. His mercy endures forever. What kind of radical people come to church on Easter Sunday night? Huh? Amen. Bunch of radical folks in this place, I tell you. But we're glad you're here. Hallelujah. Amen. If you got your Bible, I want you to open up to Philemon, depending on what part of the world you're from. I kind of shy away from Philemon because it sounds like filet mignon. Some of you might have not had supper yet, so. Only one chapter to this book. We're going to begin in verse 6. Here. I want to read this and then I'll tell you the title of my sermon tonight. He says here that the communication of thy or your faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Everybody say, in you. By the acknowledging of it. Now, I've mentioned before, and it just but the reminder that the communication, the partnership, the fellowship, the participation of our faith may become effectual. That word is active and powerful. By the acknowledging of every good thing that is in us. Full recognition of, accurate recognition of what is on the inside of us in Christ Jesus. You know, Jesus just didn't take something out of us. He put some things in us. You know, we had the sin nature, but he removed that. But he didn't leave a void there. God had a plan. And we want to talk tonight, in the time that we have, about the indwelling spirit. The indwelling spirit. Now, when we talk about spirit, we're talking about the Holy Spirit here. Another way we could say this is acknowledging what's on the inside of us, or being God inside minded. God on the inside. God what? God the Holy Spirit in us. I think a lot of times, you know, especially in Pentecostal circles and, you know, charismatics, whatever circles we're in here, but we like to hear about the Spirit upon and all the, you know, those type of things. But victory in everyday living comes by the acknowledging of the Spirit of God on the inside of us. Amen. Thank God for those moves and manifestations of the Spirit. But, you know, praying the Spirit down isn't, you know, something that we do all the time. But on the other hand, we don't need to pray him down. He's already in us. I know what folks are talking about when they mention that. They're talking about, you know, more of a manifestation. But I've already got the Spirit of God. You've already got the Spirit of God on the inside of you. So we just want to look at some things tonight concerning that and what it means to have the Holy Ghost in us. Look at John chapter 14, if you would, please. God, the Holy Ghost, the mighty Holy Ghost. You know, I think sometimes if we're not careful, we make God being on the inside of us by his Spirit an insignificant thing. This is not the insignificant Holy Ghost in us. This is God the Holy Ghost, member of the Godhead, part of the Godhead that we're made in the image of. Here in John 14, verse 16 and 17, the King James says, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knows him, but you know him. For he dwells with you and shall be in you. There again, now notice, where's the Holy Spirit going to reside? In us. Well, you know, the Amplified helps us here, the classic version that to me is the Amplified. It's what I, last 40 years, have used as the Amplified, but now there's a newer version. But this is the classic, says in verse 16, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another Comforter. Counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, and standby. So think about this. On the inside of you, you've got a Comforter. You're born again tonight. You've made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. You've received your salvation that's available through the blood of Jesus. Amen. Let me get my superpower pill here. for my scratchy throat. I got a tired throat. We were 2 weeks in Nigeria, and in 9 days space, I spoke 33 times. So got a little bit of a scratchy voice. That's all right. Better than the voice I left with. I sound like I was going through puberty again. You asked James and Ernestine there. I sound like I'm going through puberty. I give a 63-year-old puberty. It's quite the thing. It's like I went back in time 50 years, you know. But thank God my voice, by the time I needed to speak, my voice came. Trust God. Well, how do you know God's good to us? But on the inside of us, we got a counselor. Now, nothing wrong with getting some help from folks, you know, but really, the greatest counselor you'll ever encounter in your life already lives on the inside of you. Amen. He's a comforter. He's a counselor. I think so many of the times as Christians, we're not partaking of what we already have inside of us. We've got the divine comforter on the inside. Who can comfort like God? Nobody. He's the God of all comfort, the Bible said. We even comfort others with the comfort that he's given us. He is our comforter. He is our counselor. He is our helper. Oh, God, I just need some help. Well, what more help did you need than what the Holy Ghost has already brought on the inside of you? He is our helper. We all need help from time to time. You can't, you know, we talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and what an awesome, awesome thing that is to have the ability to, that doorway into the supernatural, the ability to pray in an unknown tongue to us that speaks directly to God. Thank God for that ability. But yet, it's the same Holy Ghost that comes and helps us. He's in us now to help us. What else does he do? He intercedes on our behalf. Hallelujah. He is our advocate. What does that mean? He's like a lawyer to us. Jesus is called our advocate. Well, he's placed his advocate on the inside of us. Now, if you know anything about, you know, a good lawyer, if you have to go to court and you have to testify, the lawyer is going to coach you on what to say, how to answer questions, not to lie. Now, if you got a lawyer who wants you to lie, then that's not a good lawyer. But to tell, you know, but you know, you're just a whole lot better saying it the way the lawyer tells you to say it. Why? They've got experience. How many of you know the Holy Ghost knows what we should say? He's our advocate. He's also our strengthener. Woo, glory to God. I got something on the inside, working on the outside. I got some strength in us. You got strength on the inside of you. Paul prayed in Ephesians chapter 3 that we would be strengthened by his Spirit, by might in our inner man and the inside of us. Where's the Holy Spirit dwell? In our spirit, inside of us. He's our strengthener, glory to God. And then he's our standby. He's our standby. Don't know a whole lot about that. Some of the folks that drive cars today that have never had an 8-cylinder car. You got that rubber band 4-cylinder, you know, that goes. You try to go up a hill and you don't have any standby. But you had an 8-cylinder car that had, you know, when you hit that accelerator, it's got something left. It's got something left. I know a few years ago somebody gave me a car. It was a nice car. You know, I wasn't believing God. Well, I was believing God for my son to get a car, and somebody gave me a car. He didn't want the car I had to give him, so I sold it and got him what he wanted. But I didn't plan it that way. But that thing had an engine. That thing would run. And I remember the first kind of road trip, I was going up to Omaha, up there to Pastor Tony Finley's church, and I decided to drive, you know, and I went up the back way up 75, didn't go to the interstate, but went up the back way, you know, some of those roads, those two-lane roads, you know. And how many of you know when you get on those roads, sometimes you got to pass somebody, right? I didn't have to worry. Only thing that shocked me was I'm going along at the speed limit, I come up behind somebody that's not going to speed limit, I'd look, you know, of course, doing it safely, all right, you know what I'm saying. But I'd hit that accelerator, hit that blinker, hit that accelerator, and I'd be going past him, you know, and all of a sudden I look down, I'm going 100 miles an hour. Didn't know how it got there. I never had a car that would do that fast. Amen. That thing would run. That's what standby is all about. right? When you've come to the end, you've come to the end of your ability. You've got the Holy Ghost on the inside of you. He's your standby. But we've got to be acknowledging Him, yielding to Him. Look at 1 John chapter 4. We know this verse. A lot of us know this verse. 1 John chapter 4. I say this, there's nothing weak on the inside of you. Nothing weak. There's nothing in there that isn't enough. Really, there's nothing in there that isn't more than enough. That's how God does stuff. You ever notice that? God does things more than enough. He's made us more than conquerors through Christ. More. Our cup runneth over. Net breaking, boat sinking. Power of God on our behalf. 1 John 4:4 says, you are of God. I wrote that in my Bible. I wrote it up there. I am of God. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them. He's talking about these spirit of Antichrist, these spirits that are against God. He said, you've overcome them because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. The greater one's on the inside of us. Not the barely get along one, not the barely made it there, the greater one's on the inside of us. Well, what's he greater than? How many of you know that he's greater than sin? He's greater than sickness and disease. He's greater than poverty and lack. I like to think of it this way, greater is the peace that's in me than the turmoil that's in the world. Greater, hallelujah, the greater one's on the inside of us. And we need to live in a continue consciousness of God's on the inside of us, the greater one. And really, thank God for, you know, and we need to be willing to help one another and do those things. And nothing wrong with asking somebody to help you at all. But sometimes, you know, there comes a time you're going to have to. And you'll find yourself in situations, it's just you and the Holy Ghost on the inside of you. And you're going to have to learn to trust Him and allow the greater one to go into action on your behalf. He's the greater one. Let's go back to John's gospel, John chapter 3. Look what Jesus said about being born again. See, we've been born again, not a natural birth, but a spiritual birth. John 3 verse 2. He talked about Nicodemus, said, this same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that you do except God be with him. Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Excuse me. Now, I read that because I want you to notice here, it's in the new birth that the Spirit of God comes to reside in our spirit. He is the bringer of life. When He came in, life came on the inside of us. What else do we know? Well, Romans 5:5 says, the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Why? Because He is God, the Holy Ghost. He is love. He is life. God's in us. By the indwelling Spirit of God. Look there in John chapter 4. John chapter 4. Here Jesus is at this well in Samaria. My purpose tonight is to not say everything there is to know, everything there is to say about this subject. I'll be honest with you, I don't know everything there is to say about this subject. But just to kind of get you started again and encourage us once again that we've got God on the inside of us. Jesus said, the Comforter, that divine paraclete, that word that's translated all those different things that we mentioned, He's on the inside of you. He'll be with you and He'll be in you. I like what He said also. He said, you know Him. You know Him. Aren't you glad that's not a stranger on the inside of there? That's somebody you know. That's God in there. Hallelujah. Now look what He said here. Look what Jesus said to this woman. She wanted to know why that he had anything to do with her, because she's a Samaritan, he's a Jew. Jesus answered and said unto her, this is verse 10, John 4, 10. Jesus answered and said unto her, if you knew the gift of God, who it is that says to you, give me to drink, you would have asked of him, and he would have given you living water. The woman said unto him, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence do you have this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinks of the water, of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Now, as you read and study this, you realize sometimes water is a type of the Holy Ghost. Later on in John's gospel, Jesus talked about a river of living water flowing out of us. And it says, this spoke he of the Holy Ghost who was not yet given. But here we see that a spring, a well on the inside, springing up into everlasting life. Like I said, when the Holy Ghost came, life came. That's what caused us to be born again. Jesus bore our sin. He bore that sin nature. He took it to and nailed it to the cross. And then he rose again that we might receive life. Resurrection life. How? By the Holy Ghost. The same Spirit. We'll read it later, but the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. Hallelujah. On the inside of you, you've got resurrection life. You've got life. You've got the well of living water. Living water, not stagnant old mosquito infested. You know, I know there were, man and I grew up there in central Illinois, going to where we went to high school. You had to drive out by Lake Springfield, and it was always getting silt filled up, you know, and they had to dredge it all the time right in that area. Got to dredge it. But I'm telling you, this well on the inside of us, woo, it's a spring. You don't have, there's no additives needed. What's in there is already good. He's not going to fill up, that well's not going to fill up with all kinds of dirt and junk and all that kind of stuff. Why? That's God in there, amen? Don't clog up the pipe, though. Amen. Well of living water on the inside of us, springing up into everlasting life. Look what he said in John chapter 15. We read 14 there. Look at a couple of things that he said. And then there's several things that Jesus said. Besides there in John 14, what the Spirit of God's going to do for us, and we want to look at them. John 15, verse 26, he said, but when the Comforter is come, there's that same word. When the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeds from the Father, he shall testify of me. So on the inside of us, we've got the testimony of Jesus Christ. Because the Spirit of God, sent by the Father, Jesus said, I will send him, he will come forth from the Father. He shall testify of me. So on the inside of you, you've got the testimony of Jesus Christ. That's why, you know, you don't need any external evidence to know that Jesus is risen from the dead. You've got the testimony of Jesus on the inside of you. Yeah. Amen. Well, thank God there's a lot of evidence outside, external. But we on the inside, I've got the testimony of Jesus. The Holy Spirit bears witness with my spirit that I'm a child of God. Yeah. See, he's in there. He's in there. Brother Hagin said, you say, well, what's he in there doing? Hitchhiking a ride through life? No. No. He's in there. To what? To testify of Jesus. Look at John 16. We'll start in verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient, or it's better, it's necessary for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove, or he'll convince. I've got a little note in my Bible next to the word reprove. Look down here at the note. It says, or convince. He will convince the world of sin and of righteousness, and of judgment. Now, he talks about this here. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Now, you know, a lot of times, you know, you hear people say all the different sins that'll send a person to hell. But it's interesting, the Holy Spirit's only dealing with people on one, and that's that they don't believe in Jesus. Why? Because he came to testify of him. You know what he's going to keep on doing? He's going to keep testifying of Jesus. He's going to keep testifying of Jesus. Well, if I'm going to testify to others, then I need to be led by the Spirit of God and do what he's doing, testify of Jesus. Talk about the good, how good he is. Talk about how God was in Christ, not imputing your trespasses unto you. That God's reconciled himself to you. Amen? He's in us to do that. He said in verse 10 of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. See, when Jesus rose again and ascended to heaven, was seated at the right hand of God, he made righteousness available to all of us. Right standing with God. Why? Because he's there. He's there, ever living to make intercession for us. And our right standing's in him. He who knew no sin, 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, he who knew no sin was made to be sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And then he says, verse 11, of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. See, the Holy Ghost has to do with the end of the devil. Hallelujah. And the final defeat of Satan. How many of you know the God of this world? He calls him here the prince of this world. How many of you know he's already judged? His judgment's already been declared. He says, I have many things yet to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Now look at verse 13. Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all the truth. Now there's something else. He's going to guide us into the truth. That's why I say this, you know. I hear people say, well, how do I know if that's the Spirit of God or not? How do I know if that's God leading me, or is that just me, or is that the devil? Well, number one, the Holy Spirit will always lead you into the truth. Now, what do we know about the truth? The truth is God's Word. God's Word is truth. John 17:17, Jesus said, Father, sanctify them by thy truth. Thy Word is truth. So the Holy Spirit will never lead you to do something that's contrary to God's Word. Never. How many of you know the Holy Spirit would never lead you to lie? Never lead you to cheat somebody, take advantage of somebody. Never lead you to do anything that's a violation of what God's Word says. So that's one way. And then we'll see the next one here in just a moment. But that's my number one, that it always is going to agree with the Word of God. For he said, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatever he shall hear, that shall he speak. He will show you things to come. Now, there's something else. That Holy Spirit on the inside of us can show us things to come. He can let us know ahead of time. Now, sometimes don't miss the supernatural by looking for the spectacular. We're looking for hearing a voice. We want something to appear to us. We want something, a sign written by the finger of God in heaven. No, it's going to be the Spirit of God on the inside of us, leading and guiding. Sometimes he does speak with an authoritative voice, almost so much that you hear, it sounds like somebody else is saying it, somebody's in the room. But other times it's just that still, small voice on the inside. And then be careful, I'll say this, when he shows you things to come, be careful not to put your own interpretation on that. Amen. You know, the fall of 2006. Yeah, 2006. Actually, up in November 2006, I'm working here at the ministry, teaching in the school, working in the alumni department. And I kept hearing the word change is coming. Change is coming. Man and I talked about it. You know, we prayed about it. Change is coming. And, you know, we both agreed, well, there are some things that could change, you know, for sure. Well, about in the spring of that year, the pastor of the church that I worked at, that I came to Rhema from and worked at for 9 years after I left Rhema on staff there, he called me and said that he was wanting to retire. He was going through some health issues, thought it would be, you know, be a good time for him to step aside. Wanted to stay part of the church there, but just someone else to take the lead pastor role. Would I be interested? No, I wasn't interested. Okay. A week later, my brother-in-law, who pastored a church 18 miles south of there, he called me. I just really feel like, you know, I'm supposed to step aside. Would you be interested? I feel like, you know, I don't know why. I feel like you should come and take this church. Would you be interested? Definitely not. That church. Nothing wrong with the church. I just didn't want to live up there and do all that. All right. Well, then a week later, I mean, this is three consecutive weeks, they called me. They had gotten together and decided to merge the churches. And would I be interested in that? Well, now I had to take a pause. I didn't have a definite no, but I didn't have a definite yes. But that was change. And so with my job, one of the churches was the Raymond Affiliate Church, so it was my job in the RMAI department to work with that church to make this merger take place. So I'm involved in it whether I want to be or not. And so I'm working it, you know, and so it's moving back home, you know, where we'd moved away in 1993, we'd moved away from home, you know, took our two-year-old granddaughter away from her grandparents, only grandchild on the one side of the family. I don't know if I've ever been forgiven for that yet, but I know this now. I would kill my children if they tried to move my grandchildren away from me now. So I'm just glad to be alive, you know. But so I got over the course of the summer and meeting with them every other week, you know, going up there twice a month, preaching at one church, meeting with the staffs on both churches, making it happen. You know, I had decided this was it. I had. She hadn't. I had. She finally got to the place. I think I beat her down so far. She said, well, if you feel like that, I guess, well, I'll just have to agree with you. Now, here's one. The last time I was up there, I'm driving home. It's early September. The car I was driving, it had that temperature gauge, you know, for the outside. It's 105 degrees. If you can tell it, it's hot out. Driving from central Illinois all the way down here. The whole way, I kept hearing on the inside of me, down here. This is where I heard it. I knew where it was coming from, but I had so convinced me I wanted this other so bad, I had made it be God's voice. It kept saying, are you sure you're making the right decision? I'm rebuking the devil. I'm rebuking doubt and unbelief. I'm rebuking everything the whole way home. 500 miles. I'm not lying. So we figured, well, school started, you know, and I know that, you know, you don't make change, you stay the year here. So we weren't going to go up there till that summer of 2008, it would have been, right? Because the church is merged in 2007, yeah. 2008 to take over for sure. We were going to announce it. So the Wednesday night after Kindle the Flame, at that time, man, it was really, really heavily involved with that. We knew you don't go to the Hagans right before a big event and tell them something like this, you know. Not that we were that important, but they don't, that's not a good time. So we said, hey, can we meet with you after church? We need to talk to you about something. Well, what they said, yeah, come with us after, meet us down here, we'll go out to eat afterwards. I came down, and Pastor waited for me. He saw me come, he waited for me. We walked in, he goes, you're not leaving, are you? I got something I need you to do. Now listen to me. We're driving down to the restaurant where they wanted to go eat. I told Amanda, I said, what in the world does he want me to do? I said, there's only two things, and they'd have to be in combination that would keep me here at this point. Number one, they want me to be the dean of the school. And I said, I know Brother Marvin Yoder. I've known him. He graduated from me. This is his dream job. He loves being, he's the dean. We talked about this before we ever came back and both of us worked here. He would love, I said, he's not going anywhere. And then work with the international schools. I'd love to be part of that. So we get down there. And of course, Pastor Jeff, he lets me go first. Tell him what, and thank God I never said the Lord told us to do it. Thank God, because he would have shut down right there. That would have been the end of the conversation. He looked at me. The whole time I'm talking, he looked at me like this poor young fellow's lost his mind. Now, why me to tell this story? But I think it'll help you. When the Holy Spirit shows you things to come, don't put your own interpretation on it. He said, well, Brother Marvin's let us know this is going to be his last year as the dean. We'd like for you to consider becoming the dean, and then also with that work with international campuses. I knew immediately right then that was the change God had been talking to me about. I knew it immediately. Tried to get on the phone the next day. I had to call all kinds. I had to call family. I had to call those two pastors. Tell them I'd missed it. I'd missed it. How was it received? Some good, some not so good. But 16 years later, I'm so glad I made that decision. Amen. Amen. But you see, when the Holy Spirit, who has the ability, because he is God, listen, remember, he doesn't know the beginning from the end. He is the beginning and the end. When he starts leading you concerning something that's in the future, just stay. That's when you hunker down more. Amen. And you get with him. I found this out. Here's something that I found out the Lord helped me with later. Whenever those times come, the Lord said, read more of the Word of God than you have been. Because why? That's the truth. And when you start hearing things, you'll be able to recognize it because you know what the truth says. And so I increased my reading. I just encourage you to increase the reading that you're doing. All right? I wanted to get to that verse 14 then. That's the first time I've ever stopped at that verse right there. He'll show you things to come and said any of that stuff in relationship to that. Evidently, maybe I needed to hear it. Praise the Lord. Verse 14 of chapter 16 of John. He shall glorify me. That's your second main thing right there. Thing that you're looking at. Is this God? Was this God? Was that the Spirit, or was that just me? Or is that the devil? Number one, is it the truth? Does it agree with God's word? Number two, who got the glory? Did Jesus get glorified from that? Or did it draw attention to me? You know, our social media explosion is something that can be used in the right way, but it can also be a great curse to us if we're not careful. Now, I tell this to the students, and I tell it, you know, and sometimes when I'm taking people on mission trips and different things, and, you know, not every mission trip is a crusades, and you see all, but, you know, God's not healing anybody so you can get a picture of it and post it on your Facebook page. That's not why he's doing it. God heals people because he loves them. Amen? And it doesn't matter if you ever get a picture of it or if you ever even tell anybody about it. You'd only tell anybody about it to glorify Jesus and help someone else receive, never to make it about you. Amen. Did it glorify Jesus? Did he get the glory? You know, sometimes people testify and they talk about all the devil did and all that this did and all that did, and they didn't even mention God one time. They talk about how many times they confessed the word and how many times they said it and how they believed God and how their faith, you know, got them through and da 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 da. Never mention God one time. God helped you, but now you're missing it because you're not giving Jesus the glory. See, the Holy Spirit, he'll glorify Jesus. Where is he? He's on the inside of us, the mighty one. Now, let me leave off there. Let's go to Romans chapter 8 because I don't want to, that was kind of a heavy right there. I don't want to leave on a heavy. It'll help you a lot, though. I'm going to tell you what we just went through there will help you a lot. Amen. I think I didn't ask. When they said that to us that night, didn't you think that was it? Yeah. I think I've asked you that before, but I didn't. Amen. They said, it's almost like Brother Bill, like your testimony. I really didn't have to pray about it. They said, well, you pray about it. I said, well, you know. What's there to pray about? Amen. So they said, I think we met with them the next day. Just said, yes, glory to God. All right, Romans 8:11. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you. The life of this flesh is sustained by the mighty Holy Ghost. Amen. That's why when all of the sickness and disease and plagues and all can be unleashed on the outside, we're not looking for something out here. We've got something on the inside. something on the inside. The resurrection life, the Spirit of God, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. If the Spirit of God could raise Christ from the dead, He can make alive this mortal body. Well, brother, that's just talking about in the resurrection. Well, if you want to limit it to that, go right ahead. I'm not into limiting God. And you've come too late to tell me. I've experienced the quickening, the life-giving power of the Holy Ghost on the inside of me. Amen? And so we need to be God inside-minded, be conscious of the indwelling Spirit, and acknowledge Him in us. In us. You know, I don't know how, if you have to just look at yourself in the mirror and say, there stands somebody whom the Spirit of God's on the inside of. Spirit of God's in this person right here. Spirit of God's in me. He's in me. And like Brother Hagin says, He's not in there to hitchhike a ride through life. He's in there to comfort us, to counsel us. All those things that He mentioned there. Strengthen us, advocate for us, intercede for us. Be our helper, be our standby. The mighty Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Let's all stand up on our feet tonight. Father, we thank You that when Jesus resurrected, when You raised Him from the dead and seated Him at Your own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all those principalities and powers and mights and rulers and dominions of this world, that when He said that when He was there with You, He would ask and You would send the Spirit of God. Thank You, Father God, for the mighty Holy Ghost. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. On the inside of us is the answer to life. On the inside of us are all the provision that You have for us. It's a spiritual thing, Father God. Help us, Father God, to understand that by nature You've made us supernatural beings. And You placed the mighty Holy Ghost on the inside of us. Holy Ghost, You are welcome. Welcome. You are welcome. Feel at home. Lead us. Guide us into all the truth. Even show us things to come. Glorify Jesus in us, Father. In us. We give You all the praise, Father, all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen, 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 amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, praise God. Don't you love God's word tonight? Just give God some praise tonight. Father, we just thank You and praise You for Your mighty, mighty word. Well, if you need prayer tonight for anything, come on down here. Ladies to the ladies, men to the men. They'll pray with you according to the word of God. That's where answers come from. Don't forget Wednesday night hour of power. Be right here on Wednesday night, and we'll see you. Thank God for our visitor. Give our visitor a big hand clap tonight. We're glad you're with us. Don't make it your last time with us. Come on by. Amen. God bless you. You are dismissed.